thee is the Lamb of God. Woo! Thank you, Caribbean Voices of Praise, for that anointed singing. Power of the link. Thank you, Lord. My. Woo! That was good stuff. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My name is written in the book of life. One day we're going to dance on the streets of gold in the presence of our Lord. And they started singing that. I could just see my mom up there. She hadn't been able to walk since I was 5 years old, but God took her home a few years ago. Now she's in a brand new body, dancing on the streets of gold and worshiping the King of Kings. We've got loved ones on the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want to go to heaven? Well, I'm going to try to tell you how to get there. I'm going to tell you how to walk the yellow brick road so you can get on the yellow gold road. You got to walk the road down here if you're going to dance on the roads up there. You say amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. To our guests, we welcome you again. We are so thankful that you are with us here today. If you have not filled out a guest form, we hope that you do before you leave. But we are honored to have all of you. And some of you are return guests. It's great to have Lance, brother, sister, Erica's brother with us. God bless you, my good friend. Good to see you. And we're just excited about all of the wonderful people. We had a great Meet the Ministry meeting last week. I think that was last week. And we had 21 brand new families that were there. Praise the Lord. That had been baptized in Jesus' name. Some of them have just moved from other areas. But my, what a wonderful, wonderful time we had. And what a great picnic we had yesterday. What a wonderful time. We had over 250 people there at the max crowd. And then, of course, somebody up there forgot to zip up the water bag. And the rain come pouring down. I imagine it was probably Gabriel. And so the rain started coming down. But it didn't last long. And we all got out there in the mud and had fun and played some football and basketball. Found out, didn't know this, my wife is the queen of softball. Where are you going, Brother Powell? Come on out here with all your bronze and muscles. I watched her strike him out 3 times. It was an embarrassment to manhood, I'm going to tell you right now. That little woman of mine, she took that ball and right across the strike zone. I didn't tell him she was an all-star softball player before I met her. We had a great, great, great time. And I think we need to have another one of these picnics before it gets too hot. And this time we'll remember to tell the Lord, hold back on the rain and keep Gabriel in check on all of that good stuff. So. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. I want to talk to us today for a few minutes on the subject, the Word made flesh. Now, this is our month of intimacy in the Word of God. How many of y'all been getting in the Word of the Lord? Amen. A whole lot more. Since we're not having any media you know, no videos or texting or games or television or anything that you might have in your home that entertains you. You've unplugged that. You've covered it up. Some of you have beat it with hammers and just gotten it out of your life for this entire month, and we are burying ourselves in the Word of the Lord. My wife and I have challenged one another to read the entire Bible in the month of March, but I'm going to tell you what, that's more of a challenge than I thought. And I divided it up. I'm already 4 days behind where I should be. But I have read through the five books of the Bible already, the five first books, and so we're well on our way, and we're going to try to make it happen. And it's just exciting to just bury yourself in the Word of God and read and study and listen to the voice of the Lord as He speaks to you. It's great, great, great things. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And without argument, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Who? Who? How many gods is there? So the one God came down in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up in the glory. John chapter 1, verse number 1, it'll be up on the screen. In the beginning was, and the Word was with God, in the Word. Verse number 14, in the Word was made flesh. So the Word of God, who was God, and then Timothy tells us God was manifested. So that Word, God, manifested in the flesh. And then John tells us it was the Word that was manifested in the flesh, but that the Word was God. So the one that came down in the flesh was God in the flesh. And I'm not necessarily preaching on oneness today, but I want to tell you it's a great place to start if you were. But I want to talk to us about what was entailed. And of course, this subject is so huge that we can only just barely scratch the surface of it here today. But what is entailed when it means the Word was manifested in the flesh. You try to wrap your mind around that one word called Word. For in the beginning, God spoke and everything came into existence. And everything that is, everything that's held together, every law, every commandment, every structure, every way and purpose of God is wrapped up in the Word. Praise God. Praise God. My Lord, I'm going to get all going up here. Lord, bless your word. Hallelujah. Everybody say, God bless the man of God. Say, Lord, help him preach. Say, God, he needs help. Then look at your neighbor and say, help him. Lord, bless you. You can be seated. We try to wrap our mind around the Word was manifested in the flesh. We back our way up all the way into the time of Israel in the wilderness, and God reaches out and gets a hold of Moses and brings him up, the Bible says, in there into the Mount of Sinai, and he begins to talk to Moses. And when you read the five books of Moses, you look at all the details of the law and the ceremonies and the detail of the tabernacle and the do's and the don'ts and the shalls and the shall nots, and God puts all of that, writes it all down, puts it all in stone, summarizes some of it up into 10 commandments, and so the law comes forth. But it's not long God figures out that the law on stone is not good enough. And so the Lord says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my law. I'm going to take my ceremonies. I'm going to take my commandments. I'm going to take my statutes. I'm going to take my precepts. And I'm going to ball them all together. And I'm going to wrap them up in flesh. And I'm going to manifest the Word of God in flesh. And I'm going to walk amongst men that they might see my glory. Somebody shout the word in flesh. We hear this term, the word. Someone comes up to you and says, have you read the word of God? A lot of us, our mind might go to the New Testament because it's what we are familiar with. It's what we wrap our minds and our spirits around because it is the New Testament that brought redemption to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. The New Covenant, that's what that means. The covenant that God made with man. The New Covenant. However, if Jesus was the Word manifested in the flesh, we ask ourselves a question. Was he the New Testament in flesh? Or was he the Old Testament in flesh? Well, it's a pretty easy question to answer because when Jesus came, there was no New Testament. So Jesus must have been the Old Testament wrapped in flesh. But let's make it a little bit simpler because at that time there was no such thing as the New Testament or the Old Testament. It was just the Word of God. So God didn't say, I've come to wrap myself in the old things. He didn't come to say, I come to wrap myself in the new things. He said, I have manifested my word in the flesh. So the word of God, the only word of God. And I certainly don't have time here today to explain, but we do believe and trust in all of this. I want to tell you, the Old Testament is as much in force today as it has ever been in force. Jesus himself said, I have not come to do away with the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill them. When Jesus manifested himself, when the word was manifested, he came to show the world the Word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus became the walking fulfillment of the Word of God. Try to wrap your mind around this for a moment. I hope you'll follow me. I'm only going to be in the pulpit for an hour and 45 minutes. So stay with me. That's not a lot of time concerning 70 years. Jesus came in the flesh. He became the manifestation of the Word of God. That means he became every shadow, every type, every allegory, every example, everything in the Word of God that God had put together, that God had structured. Jesus Christ manifested in the flesh that Word. I don't want to get a hold of myself, but I'm trying to get you to follow me and understand what I'm saying. In other words, Jesus became the walking tabernacle. He became the walking sacrifices. He became the walking ceremonial laws. He became the walking typologies and shadows and types of things to come. He became the walking Isaac, the walking Jacob, the walking Abraham, the walking patriarchs. All of the Word of God was wrapped up in him, and he came to this planet to give life. Yes, he was God manifested in the flesh. But John made it a little bit more personal. He was the Word being manifested. It was almost like God said, if you didn't understand it when I said it, maybe you'll catch on to it if I show you. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 17, I done attempted to quote this. Never was in Bible quizzing, so, but I'm a professional paraphraser. Me and Jesus have written a contract. He understands there's a few words I'm going to leave out, but I promised him I'd get thought across. He said, okay. Jesus, the word of the Lord says in 5:17, think not. Everybody say, think not. Get it out of your mind. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your brain. My Lord, I wish I had every Christian in the world listening to me right now. But I'll take apostolics instead. Think not, say, think not, that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So for every Christian and for every preacher, for every person that says the Old Testament is not for us today, I got news for you. It was the Old Testament that Jesus brought to you. And if it wasn't for the Old Testament, there would be no salvation. There would be no blood. There would be no sacrifice. There would be no healing. There would be no deliverance. What I'm trying to tell you is all of that was in the old, but Jesus brought it to the new. He manifested it to you and I. Whew. You know, really the transition of the old to the new, and this is not what I'm preaching at all, but it works right now and sounds good. But the new transition from the old to the new was really just God taking what only belonged to the Jews and giving it to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who's that? The Word. The Word. He loved the world that he... He took everything he gave to the Jews. The sacrificing of the lamb. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt put thy Lord first, put nothing before him. Don't worship other gods, worship him only. He said, I'm going to take what I had given to my chosen people and I'm going to give it to the world. That, my friend, is the transition from the old to the new. He didn't change it. He fulfilled it. He brought it into its fruition. He brought it into its completion. He brought it into its totality. And because of that, whosoever will. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. It's because of this. We have a Caribbean choir. Well, I got news for you, Miss Caribbean. You wouldn't be accepted if it wasn't for the Word being manifested in the flesh to me and to you. Don't you understand what Jesus did? He brought salvation from just a group to the world.
Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise.
Everybody say, the Word manifested in the flesh.
He said in verse number 18, he said, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, not one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfilled a minimum of 351 prophecies in the Old Testament. Number one, no, I'm just kidding. He fulfilled a minimum of 351 prophecies, he became the prophesied word manifested in the flesh. He became the prophesied word fulfilled before the eyes of men. It was his purpose. Not only prophecies that were prophesied about him, such as his suffering, no bones being broken. Prophecies about him, about how he would die and how he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver and potter's field would be bought. And not only did he feel those kind of prophecies about him, but he became the fulfillment of the types and allegories and shadows of the Word of God that had been preached to men through the ages of time. He showed up on earth to say, let me show you and explain to you what God was talking about. The flesh became that manifestation. Can you say praise the Lord? Just a few of these, and I'll just barely mention them, is the prophecy of the seed of a woman, prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 14. And then it was fulfilled at his birth, but it was spoken about in its total fulfillment in Galatians 4 and 4. The prophecy that Jesus would suffer and die for the sins of the world, it was prophesied in many places, but Isaiah 53, 4 and 6 and 10 and 11 talks about it in detail. And Romans chapter 5 and 6 through 8 lets us know that the suffering of the cross was the fulfillment of those scriptures. The prophecy that Jesus Christ would become our Passover. I cannot tell you how powerful that was, that when Jesus manifested in himself in the flesh, he carried with him the very act of the death of the firstborn of every single Egyptian child. He walked in the flesh with the sparing and the saving of the firstborn of every Israelite. And Jesus manifested the Passover, the partaking of the lamb, the putting of the blood upon the doors that the death angel would pass you by. He carried that in the flesh. Basically what he was saying to mankind, if you eject the blood, you're going to die. But if you accept the blood, you'll live. He walked with that allegory, that shadow in the flesh. When we begin to understand what it means, the word was manifested in the flesh, then we realize every act he did, every word he said, every action he took was a manifestation. It was a fulfillment, bringing to fruition the mighty word of God. Oh, I wish I had some help out there. Look at your neighbor and say, this guy can barely talk. Tell him, help him. Tell him he needs help. And so Jesus became the Passover. Many scriptures talk about it in the Old Testament. Many in the New Testament talk about its fulfillment. John 1:29, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. You can read them later. He became the shadow, the foreshadow of the Last Supper, talking about the breaking of the body. Genesis 22 and 8 is the one that talks about it. But the promise is given in John 1:29, fulfilled. John 4:26 and 8 and 58, where it is explained, he becomes the foreshadow of the Last Supper. Take of this bread. It is my broken body. Drink of this wine. It is my blood. They could not comprehend. But if they would have got up from that table, if they'd have went back to the law, if they'd have turned the pages in the Old Testament and begin to read about the breaking of the lamb and the shedding of the blood, they would have understood that Jesus came to manifest that. He came to bring that to me and bring that to you, because without him, we were no part of it. Without him, we would have never tasted the lamb. Without him, we would have never drank the blood. Without him, we'd have all died like the firstborn of Egypt, not even knowing why. But Jesus came and manifested to you and me that we might receive into us his broken body and his shed blood. Will you lift your hands and love the Jesus Christ? Will you love him for a moment? He's a wonderful God. I'm sorry, it's hot up here with these Hollywood lights. Let's go on just a little bit. I won't hold you a whole lot longer. He became that rock, my Lord. Oh, God. I could preach right here for 30 minutes. He became that rock. What rock, Pastor? That rock that followed Israel everywhere as they went through the wilderness. They murmured about not being able to get anything to drink. We know the story. Moses, the Lord said, Moses, go speak to the rock, but he smote it instead. Smite it once, he smote it twice. And so we know that that caused Moses not even to be able to go into the promised land. So don't you think for a moment that the foreshadow and the allegory of the rock wasn't important to God, because God knew the day would come that he would walk upon this earth and he would become the manifestation of that rock that followed them in the wilderness and spewed out water so that when they were thirsty, they had something to drink. But when Moses smote at the rock twice, God became angry, because the Lord said, no, I'm only going to die once. I only need to shed my blood once. Don't smote the rock twice. Moses, he just lost his temper. He didn't realize that that little rock crawling around in the desert was only a shadow and a type of something that was to come. And when Jesus walked in the flesh, the Bible says he became that rock. Paul says he was that rock that followed them in the wilderness. He manifested to the world the water of life. He became the giver of life for every single one of us. And I'm here to tell you that that manifestation is here right now in this building. The giver of the water of life is in this place. Woo! Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, but Pastor, you mean me? Yes, I mean you. But you don't know where I've been. It don't matter, the rock of Hallelujah. You don't know where I'm going. It don't matter, the rock of Hallelujah. It followed them everywhere as they went in the wilderness. It was always there, ready to give a drink. I'm here to tell you, the rock of life is in this place. He has manifested himself. He will bless you. He will help you. He will deliver you. Somebody say the rock. He became the serpent. Oh, my Lord, this just gets so huge. It gets to the place that you can't comprehend it. He was the Word manifested in the flesh. Every shadow, every type, every example, walking amongst men. Israel had rebelled. Sin of idolatry, sin of murmuring, sin of complaining. They had rebelled. They rebelled against the man of God, Moses. They rebelled against the priests, Aaron. God became angry. Every time God tried to kill them all, Moses would fall on his face and said, spare them. Lest the people, the world, think that you weren't able to keep them. And so God said, well, I'll get around Moses. I'll just create a bunch of serpents. I'll let them kill him. And so God creates these deadly serpents, and they're everywhere. Or he brought them in, whatever. But serpents are biting people. They're dying on the left hand. They're dying on the right hand. Serpents represent sin. It's destroying them. Represents rebellion. It's crushing them. Because when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And the serpents are taking a hold of them, and they're falling. Finally, the people begin to cry out. Moses goes to God. God, what do we do? And God says, make a serpent, a brass serpent. Hold it up before the people. When they gaze upon the serpent, when they're bit, they will be healed. And sure enough, when they would be bitten, they would look upon that serpent. Jesus manifested that shadow. You see, that was a shadow of things to come, because the serpents were sin, and sin has bitten this world, and this world is dying in sin. They're addicted to every kind of addiction you can think of. They're addicted to media. They're addicted to sex. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to themselves. They're addicted to anything and everything you can think of. They're serving false gods. They're being deceived. They're falling on the right hand. They're falling on the left hand. God, what do we do? And Jesus was manifested in the flesh, the word in the flesh, and the serpent, the brass serpent, it walked among them, and everybody that was bitten by sin could gaze upon the serpent, and they would be healed, and they would be delivered. And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that brass serpent is in this place. And if you've been bitten by sin, if you've been bitten by corruption, gaze on him. Gaze on him, and he will deliver you. He will set you free. Come on, let's love him. He's a great God. He's a great God. I got to hurry on. I got to bring this to a close. I told my wife yesterday, I said, baby, we got to start exercising again. I'm getting old again. So come tomorrow morning. Oh, that might be media. All right, we'll start in April. Can't disobey my own law. If I say he's the rock, oh, this just goes on. I can't even talk about this one. Say he's the kinsman. He manifested that word in the flesh. And these are only a few of the types and the shadows. Now, that word shadow means a reflection. It's a phantom of, or a silhouette. When you see a shadow, it's possible. If you were able to see my shadow, there's so many lights up here. I don't have one. There I am. It's possible by looking at that shadow that you might be able to tell it's a male. That depends on the man, of course. I've seen a few shadows cast by men that would go either way. But we would hope it's a man, especially if it's Brother Powell, you would see there was nothing on top and you would assume that was a man. So you can make out a few things. You can make out whether he's wearing loose clothes or maybe a little bit tighter clothing. But you're so limited by the shadow. You can't really perceive it. You can't quite grasp it. So Jesus said, I will manifest every shadow, every type, every allegory, every example and ensample of the old. I will manifest my word, so that no longer is it a shadow or a type. A type is a word that means to leave a permanent impression by a blow, sort of like Todd thought he had. Where's Todd at? Where's Todd Trahan? Where you at, buddy? He's in here somewhere. So anyway. Is he unconscious? Oh, there he is. A couple weeks ago, that was last week, I don't know. He must have been down with his eyes closed, but it's an object, a table or something. And he bent down full speed to reach for something. But before he got to it, the table met his head. Threw him backwards. Almost passed out. Big old knot came on his head. Swelled up, still hurts. Probably had a concussion. That is a type. That is a mark that is placed upon you. Jesus said, not only am I going to fulfill the shadows of the things that you can't make out, he said, but when you meet me, I'm going to hit you so hard that you're going to carry my mark everywhere as you go. I want to tell you, whether you receive him or not, after you've been exposed to him, you just don't fit in anymore. He always got this nagging little voice in the back of your head. You thought it was your mother, your father, your sister talking to you. No, no, no. You ran into the type. You ran into Jesus. And he has marked you. And everywhere as you go, you can't quite enjoy that sin like you used to. You just can't quite get into it like you used to. You pick that bottle up, you go to take a drink, and something in the back of your head begins to talk to you. Why? You've been marked. Somebody shout, I've been marked. You might as well come all the way in and let God finish the work. It's what he did when he manifested himself in the flesh. He came to complete a work in your life. Whew. Sister, thank you so much. Oh, you come? No, it's an offering. Thank you. But dear God, I had to preach 45 minutes to get that. Now, I done told y'all weeks ago, that's the only spending money I get. My wife gives me a $100 allowance every week, and by Wednesday, she's already took it back. Kids need 20 bucks. So, do it, you pay for it. Ain't coming out of my money, coming out of your money. So, baby, it's our money, huh? She says, it's my money, I lend it to you. I want it back. She'll look at me and say, you know, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have none of this. And the sad about all that is it's true. Because it was because of her that I preached for Brother Clark, and Brother Clark knew Brother White, and it was because of that that I met Brother White. And then 7, 8, 9 years later, because of that, I met Brother White and preached several revivals here that he called, and here we are, and the rest is history. So thank you, baby. You can have it all. Okay. Not like she wouldn't take it. So everybody say he's a type. I just can't touch on all of this, but you go all the way to the creation itself. You know, Adam, Jesus was not created in the image of Adam. Adam was created in the image of Jesus. God has always known what his image was. He made man in his image. So Jesus didn't show up to look like Adam. God made Adam to look like Jesus. So that we would all look the same and we'd recognize Jesus when he came. However, the Bible says when he came, they didn't know him. Everybody say bread and water. I got so much here, I might have to break this up, but I'm going to try to bring this to a close. Are you still with me? Can I go a little bit longer, just a little longer? Brother Rob, what is this? I've been preaching my heart out watching you do this the whole time I've been preaching. You didn't even bother to change hands. I mean, you're just sitting there. Everybody say bread and water. I'm so glad they love me. I'm surprised half of you talk to me after Sundays, but I appreciate it. Bread and water. The word of the Lord says that manna fell from heaven. Now watch this. This is so powerful. In John chapter 6, verse 30. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Dost thou work? What are you going to do to show us that we should believe? Prove to us. Watch this. Prove to us that you're a prophet. That's what they're saying. Prove to us that you're a prophet. And then they go on in verse number 31. And they go on and say, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. Okay? He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So what they're saying to Jesus is this. We know that Moses was a prophet. Because Moses stretched out his rod and manna began to fall down from heaven. And we partook of that manna. Now show us that you're a prophet. Look at the answer of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, give us this bread. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, I am that manna. I am that manifestation. I am that allegory. I am that bread. Jesus was trying to come and tell them, don't you get it? Everything God did back then was to prepare you for what's happening right now. He's the bread. He's the water. Now y'all making me feel bad. Don't bring that money. I'm just kidding. Come on. He said, whosoever drinketh, let's stand. Music come. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, you think that rock in the desert was something? Wait till you drink of the true rock of the water of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me never hunger or thirst. He cried out in the last days. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse number 38. Whew. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given because he had not yet been crucified. What kind of water? What did that water in the rock represent? It represented the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The manna represented the bread of life, his broken body. Eat. They said to him, Jesus, look at the words of Jesus. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. Lord, how can we eat of your flesh? How can we drink of your blood? You see, you don't understand. You've been eating of my flesh for thousands of years. God poured it out every day. And you just went out and picked it up. And you put it in a little pot. And you ate of my flesh. You drink of my blood, the water of life, from that rock every day. And you drank of my blood. But when you ate of that and drank of that, you became thirsty again. But I'm here to tell you that I have come to manifest that. Everyone stand. I have come to manifest that. And this flesh that you will eat of, you will never hunger again. And this water that you drink up, you will never thirst again. He still didn't quite understand. He said, I'll explain it to you a little bit more. And I'm hurrying, so do remain standing. I'm coming quickly to a close. I'm just running through this. He said, let me explain something else to you. Remember the scapegoat? He said, I come to fulfill that too. He said, but I'm both. He said, see, there was two goats. One, the priest laid his hands on and transferred all the sins of Israel. All the sins of Israel to that goat. And then he would turn that goat and he would swat it. And the goat would run out into the wilderness, carrying the sins of Israel with him. But then he took the other goat. You see, you can't just repent. You have to have remission. And there's no remission without the shedding of blood. So the first goat carries the sins off. I repent of my sins, Lord. Be merciful. Forgive me. The scapegoat runs out of your life. When you repent, God forgives. But now they have to be remitted. And they took that second goat and they brought it. They cut its throat and the blood was shed. And he would take the blood and sprinkle it upon the horns of the altar and bring it in. And he would go before the holiest of holies. And he would take that blood and he would sprinkle it. Take that blood. You say, well, how was Jesus both? It's simple. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. But watch me. The Bible says 3 days later, he rose. See, he said, I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive. So he became both the dead goat and the live goat. And what did he do? The word of the Lord says he took the blood and he went before the throne of God and he sprinkled the blood. For who? For you. For me. And he sprinkled the blood so that my sins could not only be forgiven, but could be remitted. Could be remitted. Well, how do I get all this? And I wish I had time to go through all the scriptures on that. In case you buy the CD, Leviticus 6 and 9 and 10 and Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. Colossians 2 and 6 lets us know that he became both. Colossians 2 and 17, 16, Colossians 2, 16 and 17. All of these types and shadows the word talks about. So here's where I close. Luke 24, and I think it's verse 45. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he opened the understanding of who? Of the disciples. For what? So that they could understand the scripture. You see, the whole purpose of him coming, watch me now, was to manifest the word. Yet the Bible tells us the world received him not. Though every typology, every shadow and type, and though it all walked in the presence of men, they understood him not. And lest his journey be for naught, he took his disciples and he opened their understanding that they might understand all scripture. Every shadow, every type. Their minds were opened. It's incredible. So how do we get the blood and how do we get the water? For tape's sake, read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It'll help you. John 7 and 37. It'll help you in verse 38 and 9. 1 Peter 3 and 20. 21, but let's look at John 3 and 3. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Here we go. And Jesus answered, he said, I say unto you,
except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is powerful because this is why he came. For God so loved the world that he manifested himself in the flesh, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, the world, should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's why he came, to manifest the word, so that we could understand, so that we could receive what he had promised only to Israel. And by understanding and by receiving, we can be brought in. So when we look at this and Jesus says the only way to get in the kingdom of heaven is to be born of water and the Spirit, then all of the types, follow me now, all of the types and all of the shadows, all of the ensamples, all of the allegories were all wrapped up into being born of the water and the Spirit. They all pointed towards that. Remember Noah? Big flood came, builds a boat, all flesh is destroyed. What did Simon Peter say? Simon chapter 1, no, chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. I don't remember. 3 and 21? 1 Peter 3 and 21, yeah. Do I have that verse? Find that in my notes. Wherever that is in Peter. Yeah, 3:21. Look at this. The light figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to the verse before that. Can you do that? I want it, verse 20. Thank you. Here we go. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. We're talking about the flood here, folks. That was a pretty major event. But it was just a shadow of things to come. Of what? Verse 21. The light figure. The shadow. The type. This is what it represented. What did it represent? Baptism. In another place, he said, don't be ignorant. When the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, Paul said, that was them being baptized. Because you can't enter the promised land till you're baptized. I brought them. He said, they were crossing over here. But I said, no, you can't cross over there. You got to go through the Red Sea. But God, that's the long way around. And how are we going to get through it? Don't worry about that. I'll take care of the Red Sea. What was God doing? He was baptizing Israel. So all the types and shadows that Jesus came to manifest were wrapped up right here. Except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So I'm closing, really. Every mind on God. So watch me. He opened the minds of the disciples. They understood. Now when they heard this, Acts 2 and 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, let the scapegoat go out in the wilderness, be baptized, let the blood be applied. Be baptized, every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. And what? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you, your children, those that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. You mean all of the Old Testament, as we call it. all of the Old Testament. Jesus, the Word manifested, came and brought all of that into light. It's now wrapped up in just a couple of verses. Yeah. Every lamb that was ever slain, every drop of blood ever spilled, the rock following them in the wilderness, the tabernacle, the falling of the presence of God, the showbread, the candlesticks, the brazen altar, on and on and on, over and over and over and over. God shows us, don't let the priest come in without washing his hands. If he does, he'll die. Baptism, 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 baptism. Don't let him come in without the blood. If he comes in without the blood, he'll die. And the Spirit falls. And the Word says, the priests were so overwhelmed, they couldn't minister. They backed out of Solomon's temple because of the Shekinah glory of God from the presence of the Lord. So Jesus came so you wouldn't have to do all of that. Every eye closed, every mind on God. The Lord's talking to someone right now. He's talking to you, sir. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized 20 times. The Bible says there's only one way. And that's in the name of the Lamb. You got to do it in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's all you got to do. And when you repent of your sins and you're buried in His name, then the glory of God is going to fall. A few weeks ago, we baptized Tamarsha, Patrick's lovely wife. She's probably been baptized before, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or whatever. I don't know. I didn't ask her. But she loved God. She had a relationship with Him. And because of that, the Lord led her into this truth. And we baptized her in Jesus' name, and she come out of that water. She began to tarry. We prayed for her a little while, and usually we pray for a little while and then we go on, because sometimes it just takes a while and people have to pray, but eventually the Holy Ghost will come. It's a promise. But I just felt something different. And we stayed and we labored. Not long, just a little while. And when the Holy Ghost fell on her, she began to speak that heavenly language. She was overwhelmed by the power of God. Because that's what the Word says. Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a promise unto you. It's why He came. It's what He manifested. And He's brought it to you today. So we're going to worship the Lord in song. It's only 1 o'clock. I've only been preaching for 45 minutes plus. Not long. But I feel a holy unction of the
Holy Ghost. You may be standing next to someone. You can offer to come and pray with them. If they say no, that's fine. Just stay there with them. They can pray right where they're at. But there may be many of you that want to make your way down to this altar. We have time. Make your way down to this altar and come and give God thanks for what He's done for you. Come and give Him thanks for what He has manifested to you. Step out from where you are and make your way down to this altar and say, God, I want that baptism. I want that Spirit. I want, Lord, what You came for. You came to manifest this to me. You come to bring this to me. It used to be just for Israel, but God, You have picked it up and You have presented it to me. Now you bring it to me. And God, I don't want to leave here without it. Remember, you're being typed of Him today. You're being marked by Him today. You'll never be able to leave today and be the same. Whether you come to receive what He's brought to you or not, you'll never leave here the same. Everywhere as you go, the Spirit's going to talk to you. The Spirit's going to minister to you. So why don't you just step out from where you are and make your way down to this altar and say, God, I want it. Lord, I want to receive it. I want everything that You have for me, Lord. I want everything I can get, God. Whatever it is that You have, Jesus, I want it. I want it. I don't want to leave without it. You have manifested Yourself in the flesh. You have manifested Your Word in the flesh. You have brought Your Word to us. You have opened up and fulfilled all of the Word of God to us. Let's worship the Lord in song. God's already pouring the Holy Ghost out. He's already touching people all around this altar. Church, let's begin to reach for Him. Church, if you'll come, let's come and pray if you're able. If you're able, let's come and pray for a few minutes. God bless you. I love you.